Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on Job 1 for humanity, climate restabilization.
Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.
February 23rd, 2016, and this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth, coming to you live from the Santa Cruz Mountains of California at Lupin Lodge, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked. And I'm Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider, and we welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation, you know, about the human condition and what to make of it. Sprinkled with laughter, good music, and as always, a few surprises.
Our time tonight is sponsored by Go Raw, 100% raw food, tastes good and great for you, and by Universe Spirit, awakening us to the impact of climate destabilization. It's going to get pretty rocky and unstable out there, probably no matter what at this point, but we can see if we can minimize the rocking of the boat. And we'll be back later in our program to tell you where you can find out more about Go Raw and Universe Spirit. Let me ask you a question. It's always something, ain't it? That's why it's always something is our phrase of the week. Gilda Radner, a famous comedian from the early days of Saturday Night Live, was famous for saying, it's always something, and she even wrote a book about it, and I may share some of that later. I talked to a young man yesterday who had just had his car stolen. He called 911, and after 2 hours, there was no response. He called him again and waited, and there was no response. Finally, after a third time, several hours later, there was a response. But he assumed that the thieves had gotten away. And this poor fellow, after years of debilitating disease that he's only now recovering from, he's a good example of it's always something. Now, since we know it's always going to be something, can we prepare for that something without becoming unduly anxious, or do we just deal with it as it shows up? And what turns a circumstance into the unwanted something? And who gets to decide whether it's something, or, like we suggested on last week's program, nothing to it? These are the questions we're going to explore tonight, and hopefully, inspired by Gilda, we can find the humor in our plight, which in turn lubricates our contact with that certain something so that, well, it just doesn't hurt so damn much. And we are about to jump in. Rochelle.
It's always something. Of course it is. We live in a something world. A world of somethings, many things, always things, happening things, people-to-people things. With so many things, it cannot be anything other than something at some time or other.
From her book, Gilda Radner says the following. It is so hard for us little human beings to accept this deal that we get. It's really crazy, isn't it? We get to live, then we have to die. What we put into every moment is all we have. You can drug yourself to death, or you can smoke yourself to death, or eat yourself to death, or you can do everything right and be healthy and then get hit by a car. Life is so great, such a neat thing, and yet all during it we have to face death, which can make you nuts and depressed. It is such an act of optimism to get up every day and get through a day and enjoy it and laugh and do all that without thinking about death. What spirit human beings have, it is a pretty cheesy deal. All the pleasures of life and then death. I think some people just can't take the variables. They just can't take the deal. That is why they drink themselves silly or hide away or become afraid of everything else. Sometimes I feel like I couldn't take the deal. It was just too much. Cancer brought life and death up that close.
It's always something, it's always someone trying to get me down. It always seems now that someone somehow is trying to make me frown. Well, why do they do that? Why do they act that way? I guess they must have had a traumatic childhood. But you know those jokers come and go. But I'm with me to stay. I'm with me every day, and it's up to me to keep my world happy. But I still gotta say that it's always something, it's always someone trying to piss on me. Well, it's always some guy with small fish to fry. Why don't they leave me be? 'Cause what does it get them except fresh enemies? But I guess they don't see the consequences of their behavior. But it's true, there's not much I can do to change the way they act. And it's a proven fact that it's up to me to keep my world happy. So you know I gotta say, 'cause it's always something, it's always someone wearing that mask of death. Well, it just don't seem fair how someone somewhere puts gloom and doom on every breath, when each word they're saying just poisons themselves. But they don't understand their life is their responsibility. But you know those jokers come and go. But I'm with me to stay. I'm with me every day, and it's up to me to keep my world happy. But I still gotta say that it's always something.
It's Always Something by Al Flip. Phlip. Two P's. Well, I think he said it. Let them live their life, but it's up to me to make me happy. I think that's a big part of what we're about in the middle of It's Always Something. We do a performance piece where I come on stage and I'm beside myself with anguish of one kind or another. And Rochelle, who plays God.
Love playing God, by the way.
She does love it, and she's getting better at it every day. She's more and more convincing. So what happened was in this show, in this event, where I'm trying to get through to God, and at one point I'm on the phone talking to God, and I get the call interrupt, and I have to say, God, can I put you on hold? And the caller is distractions, and then another call comes in while I'm talking to God, and it's denial. I finally break down and I say, what can I do? And God gives me advice, tells me to recognize three things. One, that I'm okay. Two, everything's all right. And three, I get to decide. And that's the key to this whole process, is we get to decide how we experience what happens to us that's always going to be something.
So far we've been talking, it sounds like something is always negative. Like it's always a bad thing. Like it's always something. But what if it's always something wonderful? Remember that time you took, was it Lev or something, and you said there was going to be a surprise when you turned a bend on the road,
mm-hmm.
and there was a deer there. So there was this something magical. But we've been talking about it as a negative thing.
That's why we have this conversation, you and I, because we hope that you'll get it in stereo, sexual stereoscopic talking. That's what we try and do. What's the something for you out there, listeners? Is it a positive something, by and large? There's always a something. Or is it a negative something? Ooh, I hate that. There's always something.
All through the day, something is happening for me, constantly. And some of it is frustrating, and some of it is funny. Mostly it's funny. And sometimes things are kind of scary. Rarely is it that scary, but sometimes it's scary. Sometimes I feel threatened because I find myself getting angry. So something is happening all the time. So that's why it's always something, because it's always there, the something.
Well, let's invite one of our regular guests to come in. Let's start off tonight. Professor Umbridge, what about it's always something? Oh, yes, indeed. I confront this phenomenon all the time because something is always waiting around the corner to jump out at me and surprise me with its veritable somethingness. It stands up and preens and says, I'm important and I'm going to take over your activities, your consciousness at this moment. And then this something comes in like a bully kind of thing and pushes aside like people standing in a queue. And I have a number of thoughts and things to do that are standing in queue waiting for their turn. And then the something comes in and goes right to the head of the queue and says, no, you will deal with me now, even though you didn't want to. I am here. Or you will deal with me, to take off on Rochelle's suggestion, and I'm going to pop into your life and give you a delicious somethingness. Because the one you were choosing at that moment probably wasn't as tasty as the one that I'm offering, says this delicious, tasty somethingness that popped into your life in my consciousness and take off and show me something that I've never seen before that I hope I will like. So there you have it. It's always something.
That's true. Because I believe there's something there all the time. There's not a moment, even a micro moment, in which there isn't something. There's something in my house, there's something in my bed, me, there's sheets. I mean, there's always something. There's some things with people. We live in a something world.
That's why it's important sometimes to remember who we are and what we're here for. This is a poem I wrote that kind of raises the objection, and while it begins to provide the answer, it's called The Scorner, and there's two voices in this. There's the voice for what I consider the great revelation that has come into our lives, and then there's the scorner. And this is what they have to say. A fragment of reality has happened into the cosmos. It emerged from the infinite, the absolute potential. Abstractions. What does that mean to me, these fragments lost in theology's clutch? They're not reality. What do they have to do with food, shelter, or clothing? Can I take them home with me? Will they feed me or console me? A fragment of pure essence, of dynamic energy, of force, power, creativeness, universal flexibility. What does that have to do with me, this talk of power, numbers, and force? That's science's laboratory. I know only of suffering and love, time, space, and decay. I can't relate to this mystic stuff, or even to science's progeny. A fragment of divine harmony, perfect balance in eternity's hands, a foreshadowing of the beautiful stuff that comes from divinity. Well, what does that dribble mean to me of contour, balance, form? I don't care much for artistic stuff. Find it all a bore. I like a sensual experience where I can manipulate and grasp, where I can fornicate and fabricate, because none of this art will last. Now you've reached the end of credibility, expecting me to believe that, like, I could live eternally? Mm-mm. You can't believe all this stuff. Me? I'm going to resist. A fragment of reality, both abstract and volitional, who smiles and yearns for the scorners who've got it all figured out.
So for that scorner, all those words were something.
Indeed. It's always something.
Says I need new brakes, and 500 big ones is all it's gonna take. I'm shaking my head, I'm swearing at the stars, 'cause that's more than I paid for the whole damn car. It's always something. And my in-laws are coming in less than a week. Just thinking about it, I'm losing sleep. The wolf's at my door and the world's going to war, and my two-year-old just spilled his milk on the floor. It's always something. We've all got to rise above. It's always something. In life and love, it's always something. But ain't it better than nothing? There's a leak in the roof and a storm in the sky, and Uncle Sam keeps bleeding me dry. So it's early to work and late coming home, and before I know it, my kids will be grown. I finally took a vacation. They lost our bags, came home to a ticket for expired tags. My hair's getting thinner, but I'm a sweepstakes winner. At least that's what they said when they called during dinner. It's always something. We've all got hills to climb. It's always something. We're all in a race against time. It's always something, but it's better than nothing. I may never be wealthy, but I'm already rich. Got friends and family and food in the fridge, and my beautiful wife is the love of my life. And her mother just said she'll take the kids for the night. It's always something. Puts a smile back on my face. Always something. Makes me glad I'm still in the race. Always something.
Once again, it's always something. Only this time is with Steve Seskin. And we are Inside Out, The Naked Truth, coming to you live from Lupin Lodge, sponsored by Go Raw and Universe Spirit.
There's a line in that piece that we just heard where he says, you rise above it. And the other one said, we are responsible for our own happiness or for being happy. That's the secret, since we're constantly bombarded by something one way or the other, happy or sad or miserable or scary or whatever. It gives us the opportunity, if we so choose, to rise above it, to go to that place where it doesn't affect us if we're just watching it, all the somethings that are going on, and we're in it, but we're not of it.
Well, isn't that what we were advised to do, to be in the world, but we're not actually of the world? We're not actually of the something. We're in the something. We appear to be something, but we're not of that something. We're actually of something else.
Then we're still of something. I'm scared of nothing because nothing seems like literally devoid of anything.
Well, it's devoid of something.
That's right. And that's scary because that's all we know is something. So what happens when we enter into that nothingness and we're surprised by the fact that it's not scary? It's quite marvelous. You put all the colors of the world together, they create another color. Whatever that color is, it's what is. It can be walked into with great dignity and love.
That's the choice that we make. My character at the end of that piece kind of walks off stage, given the three affirmations. I'm all right. Everything's okay. I get to decide. It goes back to the fundamental question of who is the I? The Course in Miracles, which we've talked about a lot, focuses on that. They bring it all down to its fundamental answer is who you are, you know by who made you. And from the Course in Miracles point of view, we can live lives where we believe and act out the premise that we were made by the ego, that we were made by this phenomenon that gets its identity in all the ways it can be separate from. It'll take all these somethings and build that separation, and it'll express it through complaining and fetching and guilts and fears and attack and abuse. Or, who made me? Was it the source of all being, and is the nature of that source one of love, one of caring, one of compassion? If we look to any of our great teachers, they're generally smiling and at peace.
Because they know. That's why they're laughing. You said that. If you really knew, we'd be laughing.
I was inspired by Gangaji's teacher, Papaji. I may have shared this. I ran into this fellow who had just been with Papaji in India. I felt his presence kind of emanating from this guy, like a smell from a coat or something. And the energy of that presence produced this line, if we really knew, we'd be laughing. So there it is. It's the knowing that we are in it, but we aren't of it. And what we are of is this vast, substantive, rich, ever bringing forth life in all its most sublime and varied ways, one of which is each of us.
The constant colorizations, that's always changing. As the energy field changes, these colors change. And I can understand why we'd be laughing once we drop into that place where it's not about something, but it's about the allness. It's like the aurora borealis. These colors are going on and they're moving everywhere in this energy field. And that's fun. That's a good thing to be part of.
How about it, Rabbi Greenberg? What do you have to say about it's always something? Hey, it's always something. That's how the expression oi and oi vey, it's like the first name and the last name came into being. There was people, instead of saying oi, it's always something, they just dropped the always something and they say oi. And everyone who knew oi, what it meant, knew it was something that it's always and it was coming again to hock you. And so what happens is that we got this oy vey, when you're an oy vey, you know then you're in real trouble. It's bad enough if it's an oy something, but if it's an oy vey something, that means it took up two syllables. That means it was like, we're staying for dinner.
Funny. It's so funny.
It's staying for dinner, and you're going to have to feed it, and maybe want to stay overnight, and in your bed, and in your life, and you didn't want it because you didn't prepare for it, and you got other relatives coming. It's enough to deal with those relatives. You have to deal with something as a relative. It's like a bad relative that comes over and doesn't want to leave until you deal with it, and you do whatever it takes. I know you said this, Rochelle. I appreciate it that something can be a very positive thing. But I think for the most part, when someone says La Gilda, it's always something. And she's referring to the cancer and all the problems with that. You get one treatment and it works against the other treatment and the treatments don't get along. And they decide to have it out inside your body. Oh, it's not enough that I have cancer. I've got treatments going on inside me that don't get along.
That is something that's not pleasant.
No, it's not pleasant. And that's where the whole thing about having faith and not being of it and learning to sit back and watch it and not identify with it. Don't make it you. It's not you. In fact, it's a relief to know it's always something. It's not you. So you get a break. You don't have to jump into it and take responsibility and identify with it. You can say, it's something. I don't have to be bothered with that.
Well, that's a good attitude.
Yeah, and I think it's a good attitude to cultivate. Hopefully, people listening here will cultivate that something and don't identify with the something because it can never hold you because you are expanding into everything all the time. What's a little something going to do with all of that?
What you just said is the clue to it all. Don't identify with the something. That something is defining me. That something is causing me to be a certain way. You know, that something is just something. If you don't identify with it, as Rabbi said, you taste something delicious, which is freedom. And freedom doesn't have many somethings in it. It's too encompassing.
It's interesting you say encompassing because that implies that it encompasses me. And I get kind of nervous when I feel encompassed. So what I like to think of freedom is that it's expanding me. It's creating ever more and more spaciousness and more choices. And at the same time, not only does it provide choices, it provides a way to discriminate the relative merit of these choices. And for that, I'd like to ask Barney if he wants to contribute something. Oh, sure. Yeah, we always have to make choices there. And it's not an easy thing there to do sometimes. You don't know if going left or going right is going to be the best way to go. But you know something? No matter which way you're going to go, it's going to be something. You're going to have to deal with it, and that's just the way it is. And how you deal with it and the attitude you bring to it and the level of creativity is something else here. Errol, I understand you're working here as a housekeeper. Yes, I am. And how's that for you? Some people would think that's like a lowly position, a housekeeper in a resort. Well, what I've learned is that there's a tremendous feeling of satisfaction in just getting the place clean. I cleaned the bathrooms today, and that was so jolly good. I got the toilet clean, everything clean, and you walk around, and it's instant gratification. I love it. That's very good. You know, not everybody would have that attitude here. Matter of fact, I heard someone say the other day, that's not how I want to see my kid end up when he's 70 or 80 years old.
The nice thing, he won't be around seeing his kid at 70 or 80 years old. The chances are, anyway. I wanted to reply to something that you said, Errol. When you use the word encompass, it sounds like I'm being held and I don't have space and I'm not growing out of it. But the atmosphere encompasses me. Air, breath, it all encompasses me. It holds me, not imprisons me. That's what I mean by encompasses me. I know that it made you uncomfortable, but I just wanted a disclaimer there that that's not my definition that I put out as something that limits you.
Your definition may be the same as Miriam's. Miriam had one definition, which is to include something as a part.
Who's Miriam?
Miriam and his partner, Webster.
Oh.
And Webster said to cover or surround, like an area. Random, he says, is to form a circle about. Random, as in random house.
I got it.
Got it.
and House of Random.
And an obsolete form of that word is to go completely around, encompass. I like what you said, though, to include something as part of. So I'm included, and it's an inclusive universe. Sometimes we talk about integral philosophy, and the two dominant themes of integral philosophy, according to our friend Lawrence, who is the leader of Universe Spirit and is so on top of this issue about climate change. Lawrence has often said to me that the integral philosophy is characterized by inclusiveness on one hand and on the other. So that's our opportunity. Speaking of integral philosophy, it's a fabulously insightful worldview that helps us, I believe, understand each other better. So that when we see that something comes into someone's life that's really distressing for them, but isn't for us, the integral philosophy gives you a way of understanding and appreciating it, even though it may not be your experience. And that contributes to compassion. And I'd say compassion's a good thing, wouldn't you?
I'd have to agree with you. I would have to agree that compassion is a beautiful way to enlighten something.
It is a beautiful way to enlighten something. And let's listen to Gregory Hoskins with Band and Ben Bowman and see how they approach the subject of It's Always Something.
Something hot about young flesh. There's something cool about the clothes. There's something moving in my middle. There's something calling I should loathe. There's something ageless in young love. There's something burning in my breast. There's something freeing in our contract. But still beneath our breath, if it's now one thing, if it's not one thing, then it's another, and it's another. It's always something. There's something lonely in a crowd. There's something rich about the poor. There's something fleeting in all the concrete. There's something locked about that door. There's something holy in a church. There's something selfish in our prayers. There's something cruel about your mercy and cluttering your stairs. If it's not one thing, if it's not one thing, it's another. It's just another. It's always something. It's always something. If it's not one thing, then it's another. It's another. It's always something. It's always something.
See, he included some positive things in there. That was kind of interesting.
Gregory Hoskins.
The something was a lot of different things. The universal somethings. Instead of the ogre in the closet something. I like the idea that there's lots of somethings. Because I'm then asked to, if I want to, and if I'm ready, to deal with it in a different way. I can always feel beleaguered, because that's a lot of people do that with all the somethings. There's too many things. I can't deal with them. You know, you hear that a lot. I can't deal with it. I have to do something about it. I like the idea that I can deal with it because it's nothing. Some things are nothing.
They become progressively more nothing the older you get. That's the good payoff about aging. Your body's kind of getting less and less. You don't like your body gets down to like 60%. That's why we have crepey skin, because there's only 60% is now water, when like our granddaughter's like 90% water.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what happens. We start drying up, of course.
Yeah, we're drying up, getting ready for our transition where we won't need any water. We'll just be back to the bare dust.
Unto dust.
Indeed. Speaking of unto dust, Professor Schnitzel, are you here? Do you have something to say about It's Always Something?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The something is coming in here all the time. We tune into it like radar. We have a special radar device that's tracking the something. It's like tracking a package, and you put in the number of the something, and each something has a particular number on energy system resonance, and you tap into that resonance. And so something, for example, like this poor fellow whose car was stolen, that has a resonance that's very grating and squeaky. It's like the screws coming off a tire that have been rusty. Ugh, horrible sound. Yeah, something can come in a bad sound. It can come in a horrible smell. You walk into a bathroom too soon. Yeah, that's something that you don't want to have to walk into very often. And there are, of course, ugly sights, and they are something that you have to deal with. But the universe is very amazing, because what it provides is you can exchange any something for something else. Yeah, you don't have to keep or hold on to the something. Some people think they have to hold on to the something, and they hold on to it for all their life. It was in the past something, instead of realizing they can trade it in for something else. They don't have to hold on to it. And the quicker you can do that and let go of the holding on to something that you really don't like, especially some sense of who you think you are that isn't actually working for you, and if you're willing to let that go, you can have not only another something, you can have a someone, which is a something upgrade. And it's far better, and you'll be someone, and you won't be something. So you won't be like, in some people's eyes, for example, from the news program, sometimes you're traffic, sometimes you're a consumer, sometimes you're a Democrat, sometimes you're a victim of some disease. These are all somethings, but they are not you. None of them are you. You are someone, and you, someone, transcends all of this. And that's what the ethical philosophy is about. It's about inclusion and transcendence. And that's the deal we're offering tonight. So we hope you'll take advantage of it and start including, and at the same time, transcending the somethingness of your experience. Well, thank you, Professor Schnitzel. That's like right on, isn't it, Rochelle?
That's what I've been seeing. I think he agreed with me, which makes me feel very good, because there's something wonderful about being agreed with. It's an affirmation of one's own thought to have somebody else echo that thought and say, oh, yeah, see, somebody else thinks the way I do. That's nice. So that's just something I really enjoy.
Here's an It's Always Something by a fellow by the name of Psycho Magnet.
Psycho Magnet?
Yeah.
Waiting for bad love.
that was Psycho Magnet and what he had to say about It's Always Something.
I think it's marvelous that you found all these pieces of music that actually have title, It's Always Something.
It's very rare that I find them.
That's really fun.
I thought it was interesting to hear different points of view about There's Always Something.
But it must have struck a chord to have that many people record songs that start with It's Always Something.
Oh, there were many more.
Wow.
Many more.
Interesting, isn't it?
So it's a phrase that is very much with us.
Understand it on a very visceral level.
Well, we're always confronted by these things that come up and bump into us and insist that we deal with them even though we have other plans.
You know, like I think of the things that I love that are not enough something.
Yeah?
Like the awesome moments that I have every now and then that it just take my breath away. That is always something, but it's not enough always. It seems like maybe we're bitten by more a gnat than we are caressed by butterflies.
I like that. One of the things that strikes me about the somethings, even though they may not be pleasant, is that they can break us out of our stupor. They can challenge our habitual ways of dealing with life. It's very easy to fall into habits, behavior, and judgments and assumptions that never get questioned. And when these somethings come in and they knock you on the side of the head, they get your attention. Yes, Father O'Malley? Oh, sure, it is the somethings. I have my parishioners come up to me and they're always complaining, Father, something has come into my life. Oh, boy, and I sit down and I'm going to hear about another something that's interfering with their delusion, which is what it is for a lot of folks there. They have the delusion, for example, that it's not going to be something, that it's going to be just smooth sailing all the way to the end. But as she points out, I like that you read that there from Gilda Radner, a very funny gal there. I remember seeing her on Saturday Night Live. She said that, you know, there's all this vitality and then, boop, death. They're gone. And it is a short thing there. So death can be one of the big, it's always something. Not everything else going to get you. It's going to come back around to that.
And it's always, always.
That's right. When it's that something, always is a permanent always. Not like those temporary always that are like short always. No, no, these are like the permanent always. I remember sitting in front of a building one time. I was staying at a motel somewhere, and I looked out the window, and I saw this big sign, and it said the word always. And I thought it was like the universe speaking to me. It's a big sign on a building. Of course, when I looked closely at it, it was the Walmart sign. Always something, always a good value or something, or always cheap here, or I don't know what it was. It was the Walmart sign, but I didn't care because it was a good reminder. One of the things I look for, and I advise people to pay attention, and that is to be on the lookout for the somethings that are going to be good reminders that you're not limited by any something, that you have the power to transcend it. And that's going to involve including it, by the way. Thanks for that reminder there about the integral perspective.
Well, there is something about not resisting something when you embrace it that immediately changes it and moves it out of the realm of fear into that expansive realm of love.
When you embrace it. So that brings us down to the love.
Well, that's how you include it. I mean, you embrace it, you include it, and then you transcend it. The only place to transcend anything is to go into a state of love. Where would you go when you transcend if you didn't go to love?
What I'm thinking about is in that moment of transcendence is that you get bigger than it. You expand beyond it. I remember reading once that you can't solve any problem from the same level at which it exists. You have to get above it or right. Beyond it or transcend it. So it becomes included within your capacity to change it or solve it. Whereas if you resist it or think that you're entrapped by it as opposed to encompassed by it, you will not necessarily have the capacity to be able to solve the problem and bring about a new level of integration and harmony, which is the way I would define solving the problem. Things work better.
Okay.
Is it? Okay.
Well, I mean, you know, there's nothing to say about that one way or the other.
Let's just say this, because what we're talking about with these somethings are what Cat Stevens would call trouble.
Lord, trouble set me free. I have seen your face and it's too much for me. Trouble, oh, trouble, can't you see? You're eating my heart away and there's nothing much left of me. I drunk your wine, you have made your world mine. So won't you be fair, so won't you be fair. I don't want no more of you, so won't you be kind to me. Just let me go where I have to go there. Trouble, oh, trouble, move away. I have seen your face and it's too much for me today. Trouble, oh, trouble, can't you see? You have made me a wreck, now won't you leave me in my misery? See death's disguise hanging on me, hanging on me. I'm beat, I'm torn, shattered and tossed and worn. Too shocking to see, too shocking to see. Now won't you leave me in my misery? Trouble, oh, trouble, please be kind. I don't want no fight and I haven't got a lot of time.
That was Cat Stevens. I'd like to share the last thing that Gilda Radner said in her book. It's a little story she tells. When I was little, Dibby's cousin had a dog, just a mutt, and the dog was pregnant. I don't know how long dogs are pregnant, but she was due to have her puppies in about a week. She was out in the yard one day and got in the way of a lawnmower, and her two hind legs got cut off. They rushed her to the vet, and he said, "I can sew her up or you can put her to sleep if you want, but the puppies are okay. She'll be able to deliver them." Debbie's cousin said, "Keep her alive." So the vet sewed up her backside, and over the next week, the dog learned to walk. She didn't spend any time worrying. She just learned to walk by taking two steps in the front and flipping up her backside. And then taking two steps and flipping up her backside again. She gave birth to six little puppies, all in perfect health. She nursed them and then weaned them. And when they learned to walk, they all walked like her.
Really? Taking two steps forward and their little backside going up?
I guess.
No kidding.
That's what she said, and that's how she ended her book. And I think it's a wonderful way to kind of sprinkle some delightful perspective. When I was driving this fellow whose car was stolen the other day, I was taking him home, which is how I found out about all this. And I had mentioned to him my experience that when something happens that I don't like and I want to resist, if I embrace it and just kind of be open, invariably something positive can be made out of it. It's almost like you can count on it. It comes with a warranty. Life comes with a warranty. If you embrace your experience, we guarantee you'll be able to turn it into something positive, which is a great deal. I was sharing this with him. I haven't shared this with you, Rochelle. But then he raised a possibility of something that I might be able to do. I'm not going to tell you what it is because you're always the one that says, don't talk about. But it was the very something that I would most like to do near the top of my list. You can be thinking about this. And I'm not attached to it. And should it happen, there it is, that negative experience turned into a positive experience. I was focusing on him and how it might happen for him. And in fact, that ride taking him home because his car was stolen might come back to provide me with something that I was really hoping to have.
Well, that's beautiful.
Even if it doesn't, it validates the whole point and the story of it.
I do need to say something before we end our show tonight. But in 3 days, a very dear friend of mine will be celebrating his birthday on the 26th of February. And on that very same day, our granddaughter will be 1 year old.
Isn't that something?
Happy birthday, Bruce.
And happy birthday, Ella, who took her first steps. And we predicted it. We said she would be able to walk by her first birthday. And indeed, she is. And for that, we're very grateful.
And that's something that was wonderful.
And by the way, as I said, our sponsors Go Raw, which you can get at Costco in the organic section, Safeway, Trader Joe's. It's really great stuff. Check it out. It's great, the munchies. And go to universespirit.org, especially if you're concerned about the climate change, and see how you can get involved and participate. We are Inside Out, The Naked Truth, and we're here every week. Any last remarks about something always being there or something? Okay, Rochelle, what do we have to remember?
Resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
It's always something, isn't it?
And I know that's what always something is about.
Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on Job 1 for humanity, climate restabilization.
Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.